Ephesians 5. Ephesians chapter 5. The whole subject here is walking, living as the children of God. This is how it begins, and it doesn't begin here at all, does it? Began long before this in this gospel. But verse 1 says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us." And therefore, you read therefore or wherefore, see why it's therefore, wherefore. He talked about our Lord in verse 32 of chapter 4, kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Children of God, that Christ is the Son, the only begotten, well-beloved Son of God. And oh my, did He walk in holiness and love to God, didn't he? Love to his people. And that's what we're told. That's how we're told to live and walk and act as he did. That's what we want, don't we? That's what we want. And this is all about the believer's walk. Now, it doesn't start here. Look, go back in chapter 2. Chapter 2. You know, every epistle was written to the churches which Christ our Lord gave to the apostles to write to his people, to his church. In chapter 2, you remember verse 2 says, "In time past, this is the way you walk, according to the course," that is the direction, and the way the world was headed, not only in the religious world, false doctrine, but the way the world walks. He ran with the same excess of riot, Peter said. The prince of the power, the heir, the children of disobedient. Peter talked a lot about that, didn't he? As obedient children, not fashioning yourself after the former love. Verse 3, "Among whom also we all had our conversation." This is the way we live. This is the way we walk. It wasn't living at all. It was dead in trespasses and sin. And verse 3 describes unregenerate, lost the people of the world. Lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, by nature children of wrath. But something happened. Someone did a work. A new birth. New creatures in Christ Jesus. It's a fact. It's not. This is not a doctrine. This is not a theory. This is a fact. New people. That we should walk in newness of life. That's what the scripture says. God has ordained that. Created new people. And down in verse 10, it said we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You see that? And that's what we want to do in it. Chapter 4. You remember this? A worthy walk. Chapter 4, verse 1. "I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called." Verse 17. "This I say, therefore, testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk." You see that? Don't walk, don't have the same course of life as they once did. Don't walk with the same people. Don't do it. So we'll go back to chapter 5. And again, I'm using my pastor's notes from his commentaries on this, that at the mouth of two or three witnesses, the thing is established. This is what God's Word said. And this is what he told his preachers to say. Then, all of them. He told, you read with me, he said to Timothy and Titus, "Let no man despise you. You teach these things. You preach these things. I don't care who it is. Let no man deceive you with vain word. That those who walk like the Gentiles I'm not going to be in God's heaven. Now, that's a fact. He said, don't let any man deceive you because of these things. How many times does it say that? You know, you read the scripture. How many times does he say that throughout the epistle? Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. And I say at the mouth of two or three witnesses, my pastor taught me this and the other true men, and this is what I endeavor to teach. But we don't need the witness of man. Do we need men to approve of what God has said? You know, I thought it's a sad commentary when you don't look forward to saying what God said for fear that somebody's going to accuse you of preaching worse. It's a sad day, isn't it? And I've told other preachers, I am not in the least bit concerned about the people I preach to trying to establish their own righteousness. They've heard the gospel so much. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, this according to His mercy has saved us. We've heard this so much. What I am afraid of is people leaving their husbands and wives and going out there in the world and acting like the world, where the world mocks and scoffs at God and bring a reproach on God. That's what I'm worried about. I'm worried about the reproach my life, my mouth, my actions, my attitude will bring upon the gospel of Christ. Got a bad enough reputation as it is, you know. But men want to find something in God's people to say that this gospel is wrong, see? And I'm going to tell you what this book says. And it's a denial of the Spirit of God leading a people of God if they don't walk like this. You read this article by my pastor in the bulletin? If there's no grace in the life, there's no grace in the heart. There's no work of grace. If there's no real change in somebody, if God hadn't really called them from darkness to light, from death unto life, dead in trespass and sin, walking according to the course of this world, where they walk with God and walk in holiness and walk with God's people and walk by faith and walk in love. If that's not there, God didn't do a work in them. God's not a Savior. He didn't save them. He doesn't save us from this power, reigning and ruling and all-consuming power of sin, of lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes and pride of life. He's not a Savior. He's not our Savior. He didn't save us. Right? Temptation is not sin. All of God's people are tempted by it. It's falling into it. It's wallowing in it. That's sin. And He's delivered us from the power of darkness. Yes, He has. I know you're hanging your head. I see it. And I do. We're all guilty. But as Newton wrote, did you read that quote by Newton? I love it. I'm not what I want to be. I'm not what I'm going to be. I'm not what God's Word tells me to be. But thank God, I'm not what I used to be. I'm in God's house, and I had nothing to do with it. I had nothing. You had nothing to do with it, and you know that. We're not taking credit or glory in ourselves and one iota, not one bit. But we're glorying in Him who has called us out of darkness. All right, this is what God's Word says. Now I want to preach this with all conviction and without worrying about what people may label me as. Just preach God's Word. As dear children, obedient child. I want to be an obedient child in my Heavenly Father. It's my reasonable service. Walk in love. Walk in love. Here's the key. Live in love to God. Isn't love the fulfillment of the law? We're not under the law. We're not. You know that. It's not our rule of life, but there is rule. That's the rule of love. And love to God won't want to sin against God. Love to one another won't sin against each other. All the law you've seen, first four to God, last six to man. Love God, you won't take His name in vain. You love God, you won't use images and, you know, all these things. You'll worship God. You'll worship Christ. You love His people, you won't lie on them. On and on it goes. You won't want to kill them. Walk in love. That's our Lord, isn't it? As Christ, verse 2, loved us, and hath given Himself for us an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. My, my. That's our motivation, isn't it? That's it. That is. Look at verse 3. And he mentions several things. Sinful practices, which lifestyle, which describes this world to a T. And what's the first thing he mentioned? Fornication. Now, isn't that significant? Isn't, you know how much the Scriptures talks about that. It's any sexual practice whatsoever outside of marriage. It's forbidden. It's filthy to God. It's condemned by God. Fornication. This is not... Now, there's spiritual fornication. Scripture's full of that. But this is absolutely talking about fleshly fornication. And as I said, isn't that significant? The word starts with the letter F. And what word is on the mouth, in the mouths of every, of all the people in the world? Because that's what's on the minds and in the hearts of the people of God. Not you. Does it bother you to hear that word? Don't ever let it quit bothering you. Like the name of God. Don't let it ever quit bothering you to hear people take His holy name in vain. And don't let it ever quit bothering you to hear people's mouths who run through the dirt say words like that. What, this is something that God, this sexual relation between a man and a woman, anything outside of that, of marriage, is filthy to God. And God is going to send all people who practice that. He doesn't bring them out of it. They stay in that. To hell. That is, you've read the Bible. And I'm not telling you what God's Word doesn't say and what you already read. Which things you already know. Come out from among them. Be ye separate, says the Lord. This is the most filthy generation in the history of the world. It's just widespread. Nobody thinks a thing about uttering filthy perversion. Don't get used to it. All uncleanness. All of it. All of it. Covetousness, you know, uncleanness is any kind of sexual perversion, homosexuality, and all of this stuff that goes on. You know what the Scripture says about it. You know. And covetousness, which is idolatry. That's what the Scripture says, doesn't it? Covetousness. A consuming desire after the world, after material things. Continual thoughts and desires for the things of this world. My, that's idolatry. That's what the Lord says. Covetousness. A covetous person is linked with a fornicator, an adulterer, a person who, that's the way they live. That's the lifestyle they live. A covetous person is linked right alongside that. I mean, someone who, all they think about is the world, buying and this and that and the other. As in the days of Noah, all the buying and selling and building and marrying and giving and marrying and doing this and that. That's all they thought about. Eating and drinking, and that's all they thought about. Their God was their belly. And all that's in the world, the Lord says. All that's in the world. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. It's not of God. It's the world. That's all the world is all about. And that's what the world is after. How about you? I don't know about you. I do know about you. I know you. I've had about my fill of this world. I've had my fill of it. I'm ready to be done with it, aren't you? I'm like Ecclesiastes. I'm like Solomon. I've been there and done that. I can't find anything in it but vanity. And I want to live my life, and the end of Ecclesiastes says, fear God and keep His commandment. Isn't that what it said? Well, you can't keep His commandment. Well, do it anyway. God doesn't explain Himself. Let it not be once named among you. Let it not be said ever again. Right? I'm ashamed. The Lord, don't remember the sins of my youth, but don't let me be done with that forever. Look at verse 4. Neither filthiness or foolish talking or jesting, which are not convenient, not edifying, but rather giving of thanks. Filthiness, foolish talking and jesting, sins of the mouth and the tongue, not only sins of the body, hands, the feet, and the members of this body, but this tongue, it's just what a terrible thing this tongue does, and what a great matter a little fire kindleth. What damage this does. Oh, Lord, put a watch over my mouth and my lip. The tongue, filthiness, foolish talking, is so unbecoming of a child of God. This is the way the world talks, you know. Little sexual innuendos and little joking. This is the way you talk. This is locker room talk of men, you know, guys in the locker room, you know. Feeding the flesh. That's all it does. It feeds the flesh. It just brings that old man back to life again, doesn't it? Don't let it be done with it. There's no place for that. A child of God. No place. Foolish talking. Jesting. And, you know, jesting. I've often thought with a smile how our Lord watched those 12 men playing with one another. I mean, you know how guys are. Girls, women don't understand that guys roughhouse, you know, like to wrestle. And when guys greet each other, it's bam, you know, boom, how you doing? It's got this hormone in you. You know, and that's how you show your affection out. And they wrestled around, they joked and kidded with one another, and they all said, yeah, something about Simon Peter. And, you know what it is. You know, and the Lord, like watching kids play. I know He took pleasure in watching them play, but for the most part, when they're in His presence. And, you know, that's how they lived before. They were just a bunch of joking, cutting up, and, you know, roughhousing, longshoremen, fishermen. That's all they did, ever. One joke, one quip after another. One sarcastic remark, one jest after another. That was it. Try to outdo one another. Be done with that. It can hurt people. It can be hurt. I had a brother in Christ that grew up under the gospel together, and we both tried to outdo one another with quips and sarcastic remarks. And you can really hurt people. You really can. And it one day it convicted me. It really convicted me. Don't do it. Don't do it. I wish men, men in the Bible reading back there, I wish you were going to preach that night. Because that's how you'd act when you came in that study. If you were getting ready to preach God's gospel, and all these people came to hear you preach the gospel, you know how you'd be approaching that scripture reading? I wish it was more like that. But this is what this says. we ought to, you know, be giving thanks and edifying one another, you know, building up one another. And all these other things just feed the flesh. It just brings out that old man. I want that man dead, don't you? I want him gone. Don't feed him. Who's going to win, the old man or new man? Well, the new, but if you want that fella dead, don't feed him. That, plain as day, don't feed him. Verse 5, this is what we've been saying. This you know this. No whoremonger, an unclean person, a covetous man. In other scriptures it talks about an adulterer and drunkard. And you say, but Noah got drunk. Yes, he did. You think he did again after that? Do you really? Paul was a blasphemer, injurious, a persecutor. The Lord saved him from that. You think he was a blasphemer, injurious, and persecutor after that? Was that his lifestyle? Is he living that anymore? That woman caught in the act of adultery, when the Lord said, your sins are forgiven, now go and sin no more. You reckon she went back to that lifestyle? If she did, the Lord didn't save her, did he? Huh? He's no Savior if he can't keep her from that. Right? Let no man deceive you. This you know. They don't have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no man deceive you. Who would deceive you with vain words? That if you just trust Christ, it doesn't matter. Nothing else matters. Is that right? Is that right? No, that's not right. It's easy to say you trust Christ, isn't it? Everybody says that, the claim to believe Christ. Mm-mm. You read with me. Does a walk matter? Oh, my. Oh, my. Right along with your faith, it proves God's done a work. Sure does. Let no man deceive you. Because of these things cometh the wrath of God on the children of disobedience. My daughter, thank God, by the grace of God, was an obedient child. It wasn't because of us. It was the grace of God. Okay? However, we were told to raise her in the way that she should go, and we tried to. But, you know, there are men, godly men, who had sons like Samuel and David and Eli and so on and so forth. Their sons turned out to be ungodly, and that's all up to God, isn't it, how they turn out. But we are told how to raise them. All right. But it's by the grace of God if they're obedient. And that's what the grace of God does, makes obedient children. You read with me in chapter 2 of Ephesians. You were children of disobedience, even to others. But God, is God our Father able to make us His children walk in obedience? Is He? Is He able? Does He? Yes, He does. Yes, He does. You're looking at a fellow who was a rebel against everybody, starting with God and his parent, a rebel against his parent. Do you think I'm a rebel now? I hope not. I sure hope not. Well, I didn't have anything to do with that. Your daughter or your son is no worse than I was at that time. And this is why I cannot preach without these two words. But God. I'm not glorifying the flesh. I'm not glorifying our parents. I'm not telling you doing anything. I'm saying this is what God does, and it gives Him the glory. Anything less dishonors Him. Dishonors Him. What God does is forever. Is God able to keep us from falling? Is He able to subdue all things? Paul's the one that said that. He said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Did he? He said, I'm the chief of sinners. Didn't he say that? Do you believe that? But he's the one I just quoted. I was before an injurious, a persecutor, a blasphemer. Not now. He said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. He said, I keep my body in subjection. lest in preaching to others, I'm a castaway. What I'm telling you to do, he said, I do, by the grace of God. Didn't it? That's about it. That's what he said. All of God's people fall. All of God's people fail. Noah failed miserably. Could he have slipped? In defense of Noah, and people bring that up. David, look what David did. Did David mourn over that and regret that and repent of that the rest of his day? Did he? Yes, he did. And God allowed that. Show David what he's capable of if God takes his hand up from it. Didn't it? And David prayed from that, don't take not thy Holy Spirit from me, because that's what I'll do. That's what I'll do. And as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. And this is what the Spirit of God leads people into. Verse 6, let no man deceive you. Verse 7, be not partakers with them. Children of disobedience, come out from among them. You were, look at this, verse 8, you were sometime darkness. You were. Such were some of you. Isn't that what it said? But you're washed, sanctified, justified. You were. Such were some of you. Not are, were. There's been a real change come over. The old man's not changed, but the new man has. And he's renewed daily. The old man's died away. Verse 8, you were sometime, but now light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, in light of his word. For, here it is, verse 9, the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. All goodness. You know these scriptures. Let me have you turn real quickly. Romans 3. Go over there real quickly. You know these scriptures. You know them well. None that doeth good. No, not one. You know that, don't you? Sure you do. Well, who's this talking about in Romans 3? Who's it talking about? Unregenerate Jews and Gentiles. Unsaved, unborn again, Jews and Gentiles. Doesn't matter. There's no difference. There's no difference. Chapter 3. Look at it with me. Jew and Gentile, it doesn't matter who they are, what they are, what they profess, religious Jews or unreligious Gentiles, all under sin. None righteous, no, not one. None that understandeth, none that seeketh after God. Hold on. Do you understand? Do you understand? Has the Son of God come and given you an understanding? Do you seek God? Then it's not talking about you, is it? Read on. They're gone out of the way. What's the way? Christ is the way. Are you out of the way? You in the way? Don't you know the way? There's none that doeth good, verse 12. No, not one. Hold on a minute. Now, he wrote this in Romans 3. Go with me to Romans 15. Romans 15. Go over there. All right, that's Romans 3. He's writing to the Romans, and all the way over here, after he talks about, preaches the gospel of Christ, and what the gospel, what the power of God does to his people, okay? All the way through Romans. What God has done, what Christ has won, the Spirit of God does. Look at Romans 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you're full of goodness. Is that what it said? Is it contradictory? None that doeth good. Hold on. We've been looking at good works all the way. He said of Joseph of Arimathea, God the Holy Spirit wrote of Joseph of Arimathea, he's a good man. He said of Barnabas, he's a good man. He's a just man. Not a just man on the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Who's that talking about? Every son of Adam. Not talking about the sons of God. They're just. They're righteous. They do good works. God calls them good people. He said of Job, there's none like him on here. He's a just man. He eschews evil. He avoids it. Is that what it said? That's what it said. This gives God the glory. We said, if not, he didn't do anything. Read on. Says the fruit of the Spirit, all goodness, righteousness, truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. There's so many scriptures I wanted you to turn to. It talks about what is well pleasing to God. We're accepted in the beloved. You know that. Oh, you know that. My. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Yet without faith, it's impossible to please God. We just dealt with that, didn't we? But any attempt of his people to do any good work for any of his people for the cause of Christ is well pleasing to God. And you know they don't do one single thing. God's people don't do one single thing so God will take them to heaven. Not one thing do they do for merit. And not one thing. In fact, when the Lord acknowledged the good works of his people, remember that? He said, you clothed me when I was naked. You fed me when I was hungry. You visited me. Across the board, all of those good people said, we didn't do any of this. When did we do any of this? They didn't take credit for it or didn't even acknowledge it. They don't think of it as a good work. It's love. But God did. Well done, my children. Well done. And it's not us, our works, that grants us interest in, or makes God love us. It's Christ. But it's Christ in you as well. It's a new man. Well, read on and let me hurry. He says, we prove what is acceptable unto the Lord, having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather prove them. It's a shame to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. That's what we were talking about earlier. He was talking about that these things that now spew out of people's mouths. Those things it's shameful even bring it up. You know, things that are just people think about and talk about and in your face today. 50 years ago, you'd never even hear anything like that. I can't believe this is happening. I can't believe that. What is it? It's God taking his hand off this world. That's what it is. Don't get used to it. And we just say, this is the wrath of God coming down. This is a shame to even think on these things. Verse 13, all things are approved, are made manifest by the light. That's what light. He says, we're children of light, not darkness. Whatsoever doth make manifest or approve is light. Here's what my pastor said on this subject. It says, believers, don't walk, don't be a fool. Fashion this world passes away. It said, light is reveals darkness, and the gospel of Christ and a life of God's people exposes the life of unbelief. But not if we walk and talk like them. I say, you're no different. We are. God didn't do anything for you. So verse 14, he says, wake up. Awake thou that sleepest. This world lulls us to sleep, doesn't it? Carnal sense of security. All it goes, don't become insensitive to sin. What kind of sin? Any sin. All sin. And it rise from the dead. Christ shall give thee light. See then. Here it is. See then. See now. My dad used to say that to me. See now. Listen to me now. Listen up now. That you walk circumspectly, above reproach, not as fools, as wise, redeeming the time. The days are evil. Time is short in it. Yes, it is. Don't be unwise. Understand what the will of the Lord is. And let me just quote you one verse of Scripture about the will of the Lord. Okay? Listen to this. You know this. You know where it is. It's in 1 Thessalonians 4. You know this. It says, "We beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so that you would abound more and more. You know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel, his body, in sanctification and honor." That was it. That's what it said. And Paul said this, "My prayer," in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, "My prayer is that God will sanctify you wholly. I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, who said all those things? Me? John Calvin? Henry Mahan? God did. Was I true to this? In spite of my guilt, in spite of my shortcomings, in spite of all that, in spite of your sin, this is what God said. Now walk as children of light, as dear children. I want to be just like Jesus Christ, don't you? I want to be just like Jesus Christ in every way. I want to be holy, righteous, unblameable, unreprovable, love, good, gentle, goodness, meek, temperate, moderate. Don't you? Okay.